welcome to episode 125 of Dads from the Crypt. My name is Jason. I'm joined by Jody.
Hello.
And Mondo.
Hello, Jason.
Hi. Yep, it's going to be that night. Recording on the Friday night before. I think we've all kind of, you know, decompressing from our week. And, you know, we're all just feeling the feels. This is our last Tales from the Crypt episode we'll be reviewing, at least as far as this go around. I'm sure we'll circle back some episodes here and there. And, you know, we say we're a Tales from the Crypt podcast, and even though we might not be reviewing Tales episode on a regular basis, I think that's still in our DNA.
Oh, yeah.
At the heart of the podcast.
It's who we are.
The beauty of Tales is always, the heart. That was, dude, I'm
already buzzed. You haven't even started. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It's going to be a fun ride tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But the spirit of Tales from the Crypt is you really can't match that. It was lightning in a bottle, zeitgeist, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not the conspiracy theory movie, but the real term, zeitgeist. There's a conspiracy theory movie called Zeitgeist, which if you ever met a conspiracy theorist in the early 2000s, would tell you to watch that movie because it explains everything in the world.
Oh,
does it really?
No. But when I was like 25, I bought into it, so it's cool.
No, and you know, I've been thinking a lot last couple of days about, you know, when we started the podcast and we're like, well, we're just, you know, a couple knuckleheads getting together to talk about Tales from the Crypt, and you know, I had ambitions.
A thruple. A trio of knuckleheads.
And like, you know, I had ambitions to see, you know, what we could do with the podcast. And you know, I definitely would say that we far exceeded anything I could have imagined.
We joke about it, but when you said we're getting three episodes in and Jason's like, yeah, we're just gonna interview John Kassir. I'm like, wait.
Yeah,
hold on.
And then the amount of cool stuff we've gotten to do because of this podcast. Yeah. Stuff I never would have imagined when we first said, hey, let's talk about Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. And realistically, it's all thank you to you guys, the listeners out there, for listening to us and giving us good reviews. And it's really, I can't express how appreciated it is. Like, I probably do this no matter what. If we had 10 listeners, I'd probably still do it. Cause, I was talking to my wife today and I was like, no, I love that hour I get to spend with Jason and Jody and whatever guests we have. Cause I get to put, again, I'm gonna go back to talk about jujitsu cause I'm a fucking geek, but, I look at it like that, where this is my hour where I don't have to worry about the world, where I get just to hang with my bros and talk about life and talk about something I'm very passionate about, which is horror.
Yeah, and like I said, we say at the end of every episode, I'm a real big proponent of gratitude. It just kind of like really keeps you right-sized, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to do a lot of cool stuff and whatnot. But, you know, again, a lot of that is just representative of, you know, our the fan base out there for the show, for us. Man. You know, for the original, how much the original show affected people. I always say nostalgia is a hell of a drug, and people, you know, are still looking for, you know,
One of my favorite things is when we have guests on and you ask them, tell me your memories of Tales from the Crypt. And there's been such a wide range of answers. And I love it from the people who are like, you know, I didn't even watch it till you guys asked me to be on the podcast, to the people that it sparked their love of horror. And in both are awesome experiences, and everything in between is an awesome experience too. And it's really cool to see how much the show touched people.
Yeah.
Speaking of cool experiences, I got to do something very cool. Actually, I did it like back in August.
But, I thought he was going to say, speaking of touching people. With consent.
No, so if you remember back, probably early summer, late spring, we had a great guest on from the Katie Afraidy podcast.
Yes. And,
she was doing her show out of the Laugh Factory, where she was having mostly comedians on to talk about horror movies. And you know, I invited her to come on our podcast. Very cool person.
She's
so fun. She invited me to come on hers again. This was back in the August to talk about Demon Knight, which, you know, I'll talk about Demon Knight to my barber. You know,
a barber?
I just wear a shirt and this is like talk
to me about. I haven't had a barber in years, man.
I know. Oh yeah, that was just more of a euphemism.
Just some guy he pays to sit in a chair and talk to
your friend. I'll pay you to sit in the chair for half an hour. You can just like snip up my beard. And we had, it was the first time I've ever podcasted not sitting at this desk, like not in this space. And first time I've ever like been looking at someone while podcasting. So it was a very different experience. And again, it was in the basement of the Laugh Factory, which is a historic comedy club in LA. So it's a very surreal experience, but very cool. Again, Katie is a really cool person. And the episode just came out, came out really well. It's actually doing very well on YouTube. And she's really good with, you know, her TikTok videos, and those are doing really well. So for anyone that is listening to us because they saw that, welcome to the show.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Katie, for having me on. And for our listeners, if you want to hear me talk more about Demon Knight and how sexy Billy Zane is, we definitely go there. We have a really fun episode. So again, it's Katie Afraidy on all the usual platforms, including YouTube, if you want to see me geeking out and like, if you want to see the visage.
It's a Friday when we're recording this today, and part of my Friday ritual is when I get up in the morning, I have the Fangoria newsletter always waiting for me. It's got some, you know, horror news. It's got the crossword puzzle. At the bottom of it this time was a picture of Jason. And it just kind of blew my mind at the bottom of this newsletter that I look at every week. There's his face. I had to look twice. Like, what am I looking at again? Oh, wait, this is Fango.
I'm going to print that out because I finally made it to Fangoria.
Piece an image together for him. Like, oh shit, I forgot to piece the image together this week.
Okay, bud, we do have some Tales from the Crypt to talk about for the last time, at least for a while. We're talking about the series finale, as it is. This came out July 19th, 1996. Season 7, episode 13. You know, it came out a week after Friday the 13th. How cool would it have been to have your last episode, episode 13, coming out on Friday the 13th? But
well, that'd be really cool. But at the time, and you probably know this answer, Jason, did they know this is going to be the last episode of Tales?
I don't think they knew for, I think they were hoping it was. I was texting with Al about this earlier today. He has no memory of anything. I asked him, like, do you know why they did an animated episode? He has
memories of a lot of things, just not this thing.
Yeah, I'm saying about this particular. He's like, no, I have theories, and we'll get into that in a minute about why this episode is. So very well could have been that they did mean to end it the week before on Friday the 13th with episode 12. Who knows? But let's get into the plot synopsis. Jody, good luck.
All right. So I debated with myself how to even approach this, because what is the plot synopsis? It starts as literally just the three little pigs, except three little pigs as filtered through, like, I don't know, a 2000s internet cartoon somehow 10 years before that happened.
Well, have you guys heard of, was it Spike and Mike?
Yeah. Spike and Mike Animation Festival, but it also really reminded me of Duckman.
Yeah.
Like that vulgarity that didn't really exist in cartoons back then, unless it was something like this or something on the networks.
It was the underground.
If you watch Duckman today, there's some really questionable stuff in there, but especially when you think about the time period it came out in, it's kind of a holy shit moment. How did they get away with this?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer for this one is HBO. But you know, they got to do whatever they wanted, and I think it's weird looking back at this, because this type of humor definitely had its moment online like 10 years later, but when this came out, there was nothing like it out there. It's three little pigs, except for two of the pigs. One of them's name is Drinky, the other one's name is Smokey. And then Dudley, who's the good pig. And both Drinky and Smokey, Drinky likes to drink, Smokey likes to smoke. And they both chase women around and say some questionable things about the big bad wolf comes. He's got Bobcat Goldthwait's voice. So you at least have that going on for the whole thing, as you get to hear him. But most importantly, speaking of voices, John Cassier, as the Crypt Keeper, narrates the entire thing. So this is the most John Kassir we get in any episode. And so regardless of the quality of the episode itself, you get a whole lot of Crypt Keeper. And that's always a good thing for me. So anyway, the houses get knocked down for Drinky and Smokey, and they all go to Dudley's house, which is made of bricks. And his brothers are jerks, but, you know, they get by. One day, though, they send Dudley out for beer. And while he is out, the Big Bad Wolf tricks Drinky and Smokey into letting him in. And then he violently murders them.
The Big Bad Wolf also somehow transforms himself into a scantily clad female who looks like a wolf.
Well, he uses a centerfold and somehow gets it to animate.
Oh, I totally missed that part. I'm sorry.
Which is even weirder. He gets it to start talking to them.
Yeah. But when I say violently, I mean, even for somebody who has, you know, spent most of their life watching Adult Swim, like from literally the night it launched, I was watching in college. And I still watch Adult Swim. This is still like a lot of violence for a comedy cartoon. I can't remember which one. Is it Drinky who gets slowly cut limb from limb?
Yeah, that was intense.
Every one of his limbs cut off, blood spewing everywhere, his head chopped off with like organs swaying in the breeze. And then the Big Bad Wolf eats him, gets blood all over himself. And then Smokey gets smashed into like a pancake and dipped into a cup like he's a cookie. And again, lots of blood. When Dudley gets home, it is a crime scene. There's blood all over the walls. It says something like, "Die, Piggy." And there's limbs everywhere. There's a head on the TV.
Was that a Charles Manson reference?
I'm sure it was. Yeah, no, that's Helter Skelter stuff right there. Yeah. So yes, gruesome murder. And so Dudley calls the police, and when the police show up, they're all wolves, and they accuse him of killing his brothers, and they take him to court, and he's found guilty. That night, he is sitting in his cell where his brother's ghost come to him. They say they want him to get revenge. The Big Bad Wolf is the killer, and so they help spring him from jail. Up in a castle, he becomes a mad scientist, builds a Frankenpig, and he goes and the Frankenpig ambushes the Big Bad Wolf, kills him, bites his chest open, like heart beating inside of his ribs. And then when Frankenpig returns to Dudley, Dudley starts feeling bad about it and tries to kill him. He makes him slip on a banana peel and gets shot and then turns into a roast pig. And just as Dudley's getting ready to chop him up, the Big Bad Wolf jumps out with his brain exposed, makes Dudley into a sandwich, and bites his head off. The end of Tales from the Crypt. This is a wild episode, man.
Yeah. All right, Mondo, start us off.
All right. So this was better than I expected. I'm not going to lie. Jody made that face at me, but I didn't expect much. An interesting piece is one of the writers, Bill Knopp?
Cop.
Jason Cop. I was thinking K-N-O-P-P. That's not his name. But he wrote Eat the Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote a lot of episodes of Tasmania. So I thought it was kind of cool. They did pull a traditional animation writer to write the episode. It's also very interesting that the other writer, Stephen Dodd, is one of the creators of the series. So I have a hard time really... This episode has its issues, and I'm not going to say it doesn't, but I do kind of appreciate the fact that Stephen Dodd also wrote the very, very last episode of Tales from the Crypt, or had a big hand in it. I think that means a lot. A couple things I thought that are really kind of stuck out to me were the trial of Dudley, where if you see it, it's almost an allegory for modern political or judicial government, whereas you saw, all the jury of peers were all wolves. Like the judge was a wolf. Everyone was a wolf except for the pig. And no matter how innocent he was, you guys just took a drink that was synchronized drinking right there. You guys turned your head and looked back at the screen at the same time. Weird. This is a fucking simulation. I know it. But so I was actually really surprised by that. Cause I don't think that was done by accident.
Oh yeah.
And, if anybody out there, you guys have had to deal with the judicial system, and I don't mean like necessarily you got arrested and convicted of something. I have, but that's a whole other story. If you guys ever dealt with a legal system, you see how swayed it is to people with influence and people. No offense to anybody out there, but has to have the right skin color or the right gender or the right race or whatever. And it was kind of really profound how they showed all the wolves sentencing this poor pig to death when he was obviously very, very innocent.
And yeah, they didn't even like give him a trial. He entered his plea and they said, okay, that's it. We're going to deliver it.
Immediately got him guilty.
It's one of those cases where one thing we've always hung our hat on in America is that everybody gets a trial by jury, but how fair is that trial? I used to be very anti-criminal defender and very anti-criminal lawyer because I figured, like, how do you go around and try to defend people that you know murdered their whatever or that you know did these heinous crimes? And then a gentleman that I train with, shout out to Nick, who's a really great guy, he's a criminal defender. And he pointed out, he goes, my goal isn't necessarily I'm not trying to get someone off for what they did. I'm just trying to make sure that they get the same punishment and the same fair shake that everybody else would get in the same situation. And that's what you really kind of saw here. And I thought that was really kind of cool. And that really brought the episode up for me. Also made me kind of depressed.
Yeah. This is making me think a little more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I don't know why. When I was watching it, that just hit me really hard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe also being, I look white, but I'm a minority, and seeing how, no one's going to look at me and discriminate me based on how I look. I had long hair, maybe, because I was a metal, I'm still a metalhead, but I guarantee you, though, people have seen my name before on a piece of paper and said, fuck this guy because of his name. And I think that's why it hit me a little bit harder with that whole judicial scene, because I've dealt with sadly, with the judicial system, both as a witness and as a defendant, which you guys will never. That's our $13,000 Patreon tier. If you want to know what I've been arrested for in the past. You can pay for our $13,000 Patreon too, and then I can pay off the repiping of my house. But that actually hit me really, really a lot harder than I expected from an episode when I first started watching it. I was thinking, where the fuck is this going? And I also, for some reason, it grosses me out seeing people smoking inside nowadays. Growing up as a son of two chain smokers. Well, my stepdad was a chain smoker, and I didn't realize how terrible my house smelled until I moved out and tried to go back home to see my family. And I was like, oh, this is fucking terrible. So when I saw Smokey, I was like, it immediately made my lungs just hurt.
Well, it wasn't that he was smoking. He was smoking like five cigarettes at a time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That can't be good for you, right? Like, is that even possible? Now I'm thinking, like, I bet there's some animal testing lab somewhere. They're forcing monkeys to smoke cigarettes to fucking test something. God damn it. We are terrible. We're a terrible, terrible race of animals. Like, we should just, we're the fucking worst next to dolphins. But
I somehow feel like this is the most heavy discussion about this episode that's ever happened.
Probably. Maybe. I didn't expect it when I started watching. I expected this is going to be just some fluff bullshit. But I really think that court scene kind of turned the corner for me. I was completely out on... Is that another beer, Jody? Are you on beer number two now?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Friday night. It's our last tills,
What is it in Wedding Singer when John Love was like, it's Friday? Oh, it's ladies' night. But anyhow, right, don't shake your head at me with your shirt on with the second best Metallica album ever.
All right, Jody, go ahead.
That's all I have, though. I enjoy because of the court scene and what I think it was trying to even just kind of push a little bit of a message through in an episode that was mainly fluff. I think this that really elevated it for me and made me like it a lot more than I would have had that not been in there.
All right, Jody.
All right, so I'm kind of an animation nerd. I think last week when we were talking about our favorite non-horror media, I brought up, Across the Spider-Verse. I brought up the New Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I watch a lot of cartoons. And I mean, even like when I was in college, my senior paper was about cartoons during World War II. So I spent a lot of time watching cartoons, thinking about cartoons, reading about cartoons. And so I hear the last episode's a cartoon. I'm excited. And you look at the talent behind this. You know, you've got the guy who, he directed episodes of The Simpsons. He directed some Tracy Ullman shorts. Other director directed Powerpuff Girls. You've got big name voice actors in there, mm-hmm. Like Jim Cummings. Jim Cummings has been every character. Yeah. He's Darkwing Duck. He's Winnie the Pooh. You know, like this guy is everything. And in the end, like it wasn't great for me. It like there's obvious talent on board. And you can tell that the voice acting is actually a lot of fun because mm-hmm. of those voice actors. Bobcat Goldthwait, I mean, he's especially his like early 90s, late 80s Police Academy voice, like that Bobcat Goldthwait. It's super instantly recognizable. It's a fun voice. Brad Garrett, who from Everybody Loves Raymond, the big tall brother. You know, so there is talent there. The animation is really cheap. Like you can tell, like it moves from one thing to the next without like transitional images in between. And that's what made it feel like that, like early 2000s Flash animation. You know, like I grew up with Ren and Stimpy, and then John Kay, who made Ren and Stimpy, he made a bunch of internet cartoons, and I was really into those. I followed those, spumco.com, and it felt like that. Like, that's mid-90s, early 2000s kind of Flash animation. Things moved poorly, looked cheap, and I'm sure it was cheap. I'm sure it's like the cheapest animation you could possibly get while still getting good talent on board. And so that's kind of an instant, you know, thing for me that it didn't look great, I didn't think. Beyond that, though, it's the first episode of Tales for some reason that despite all the murder and mayhem and sex and violence and everything else we've watched over the course of the series, it's never felt edgelordy to me. This episode definitely feels a little bit like, look at what we can say, look at what we can get away with here. We're on HBO, the drinking pig.
So, you know? Jody, can you explain edgelord to me? It's one of those newfangled kid words that I don't quite understand. Oh, no,
this is one I've heard for a long time.
It's been around since I was in high school. Sorry, Jason, I'm younger than you are, but that is. Yeah.
I know I'm turning a new age tomorrow, so I'm feeling even older, but.
Yeah. Oh. Happy birthday to Jason. Tomorrow he will be 52?
No.
It's only funny to call people by older name, but no. Older age, but and never do that to your significant other or female.
No.
Just don't do it to anybody except for Jason.
Like, well, I have an idea of what an edgelord is, but give me a good definition.
So when I think edgelord, I think of people like deliberately trying to be like, I'm going to say something offensive. I'm going to say something that's going to make you uncomfortable because it's going to be funny. That kind of thing, you know, like
the I'm comedians. Making a tip for TikTok. I'm making a tip of that for TikTok.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Dude. I want everyone to look at the YouTube video of this. I was like, I've never seen Jody's head move in that. In 125 episodes, I've never seen Jody's head move in that style. Like,
point being, though, it's... I grew up also watching Comedy Central, and so I watched a lot of comedians. You could tell the ones that didn't have jokes, they would just try to be, like, shocking, you know? And, again, as a longtime Adult Swim watcher, every now and then they'll try something new, and it will just be the whole point of it is to be like, look what we can get away with. I can say swear words on TV. I can make this pig puke a lot. It just...
Yeah.
It kind of had that feel of like, we're on HBO and we can push the envelope, so we're going to. But no other episode of Tales has ever felt like that to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They find a way to justify. I mean, it right. goes to that line, but they find, at least it's within the context of.
Even the episode.
Yeah.
Even the episodes we found borderline offensive. I don't feel that they were ever trying to go over the top.
Right.
It was just a symptom of the times and a poorly judged script, maybe. But this one, you're right. I do agree with you. It feels like it was trying to see what it could do. And
right. And And there wasn't anything like this for animators out there that they could do this kind of thing with the, you know, you had a, what are we talking here? 1996. Sure. So 96. Beavis and Butthead existed by this point, right?
Duckman was my, that was the thing that I thought of first and foremost, because that was kind of that first ever cartoon that really, well, obviously Beavis and Butthead did it, but this is on USA. Whereas people who listen to this nowadays may not realize this, but MTV was kind of the underground in a little bit of ways. I guarantee you, I don't know if you guys, Joey, I guarantee you dealt with this. You probably were not allowed to watch MTV.
At times, yeah.
We didn't even have MTV. I wasn't allowed to watch Simpsons for a long time.
same for me. By the time I was a teenager, I watched Simpsons every day, religiously, 4 o'clock is when The Simpsons came on. But when I was a kid, I was not allowed to watch Simpsons.
Yeah, USA brought Duckman, and they had WWE Raw, and they had Silk Stockings. which is a come on after WWE Raw, which was awesome as a 12-year-old or whatever. But it really feels like, they're trying to push the boundaries intentionally.
Yeah. I mean, the first episode of South Park came out a year after this. So, we didn't even have that in our cultural, way of thinking at the time. So I understand why, if you're an animator or you're into cartoons and you get the chance to just go wild and do something gross and nasty and let the characters swear and everything else, that's fun. I get it. 12-year-old me probably would have really had a great time with this episode. This would have been fun and gross and edgy, and it would have felt like I shouldn't be watching it, but it was fun to be able to. At 42, it's a little less impressive that, you swore. Cool. You can show blood. I've seen so many cartoons that, shows like Super Jail are bloody top to bottom. Shows like, what was that one that came on Comedy Central back in the day? Drawn Together. They would say things specifically to be offensive.
Ugly American.
I love Drawn Together because I was, 25, and I thought that kind of stuff was really funny. Today, it doesn't hit the same way. I don't want to judge it, by the time necessarily, but, I see where some of the cracks are for sure.
But I think it's also okay to judge it by the time, being that people that are listening to this may not have watched it yet or maybe think about watching it. And I think it's okay to say that, hey, it has some issues. It really does.
Yeah. Well, and I don't really even feel like in 2024, I don't feel like it's actually offensive in any way. There's nothing in there that feels gross. There's one line where the wolf says something about, I'll call it Bo Peep. She won't put up a fight. Okay, that's a little bad.
Very much.
But outside of that, it's not offensive. It just has that feel of trying to be offensive. You know what I mean? It's not offensive, but it wants to be. It wants to shock you.
I kind of felt that way.
So there's some shit comedian I keep seeing on TikTok that people are mad about. Matt something.
Rife.
I'm like, fuck this guy. I see his bits. I'm like, he's just trying to be edgelordy.
That's exactly what edgelordy is. Yeah. Saying things to make people mad because that makes it funny, I guess.
If you ever go to a local comedy show, granted, Jason, your local comedy shows, you get a mix of amazing, Bill Burr will just drop into the comedy club in Los Angeles because he wants to work on a 15-minute set. But if you go to ever a comedy show at your local brewery or someplace, you'll see, I guarantee you, almost every night, you'll have one comedian that tries this kind of humor, and it generally falls completely flat in 2024 now.
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that, because when I lived in Portland, there used to be a place that had open mic every Monday, and me and some friends would go there at least once or twice a month. They had cheap beers and open mic comedy, and most of it was awful. A lot of it was trying to be edgy without.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with all. I'm just gonna say there's nothing wrong with that, right? They're trying to learn their craft like anything else, and it takes time and effort and energy to do that. So I respect that, but you can definitely tell the ones that are the funniest guy in the office because they say offensive stuff to people just to get a rise out of them. And to me, that comedy, it can work sometimes. It can work when the spirit and the heart is there, but I also get that most times it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, and I don't feel like there's anything wrong with like edgy comedy if it's done right and if it's actually funny, you know?
Yes.
I have a pretty dark sense of humor a lot of times, and some of the stuff that makes me laugh would be, you know, upsetting to other people. That's fine. But don't try too hard. Like, you know, that's what feels like happening here is just trying too hard.
Yeah.
It's kind of something I've seen in pro wrestling every now and again, independence, where you'll have these wrestlers just do promos and throw out these lines with so many curse words in it. And I'm always thinking that's just lazy. You just couldn't think of good lines, and this is what you threw together. And I totally get that.
Yeah. So I didn't hate it, but it wasn't the like big fun spectacular ending that I was crossing my fingers and praying for, that we'd at least go out on a good note.
Even the wraparound, I was hoping the wraparound to be a little bit more iconic, right? If you think it's the last Tales in the Crypt episode, I would have loved to see a sign off by the Crypt Keeper or something that made you just, maybe you didn't know at the time when you watched it that it was going to be the last episode, but maybe something he said might have just alluded to that, and that would have been kind of cool.
So when I was in college, one of our guys said, "Oh, I've got this cool animation film festival thing we got to go do." And we drank copious amounts of beer. And we went, it was a Spike of Mike's, and I had never seen anything like that. And I was laughing my ass off. I still remember Bambi versus Godzilla.
Oh, me too. Very good. Yes, sir.
We're just this really cheap animation of a deer walking around. All of a sudden, spoilers. This humongous Godzilla foot just stomps on it, and it's just the end. That was the whole thing. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I think if this was in one of those segments, I think I'd like it quite a bit, or at least it would fit. But in context with a Tales from the Crypt episode, it's. I'm struggling whether to review this or think of this as on its own or as part of the Tales from the Crypt thing. Again, you put Tales from the Crypt in front and at the end, it means something and it gives you
Anytime you're attached to a show name or attached to a corporate, whatever, you have to expect that you're going to get scrutinized based on that series or whatever. Well, and I think that's totally valid.
There's a level of expectation. So it's like,
this
on its own would have been, you know, a fun thing to watch, you know, under right circumstances and in the right environment, but from Tales of the Crypt, and like, it's just really head scratching about what is this? I have a theory that this is the same company that did this ended up doing the Tales from the Crypt Keeper show, which is obviously animation for kids. But I'm thinking that this was a test run to see if they could do something more adult and keep on HBO and find a cheaper way to do Tales from the Crypt to continue it without
high production costs.
Yeah. So my guess is this was like a test balloon and it probably tested very negatively. So like, okay, let's do something for kids now.
This episode, I mean, it doesn't fit for a lot of reasons. This is the only animated episode. It's the only one not based at all on a comic.
And we've had episodes that weren't even based on the comic, but just had the comic in name. Maybe had like
at least it was something. It was connected to a comic.
And I think it would have landed a lot better had it been played almost deathly serious. The fact that it was kind of played up for laughs, and then you have this horrific the horrific death scenes, and then the pig being led to his execution. I think those you kind of had these heavy moments surrounded in this really satire over the top farcical story.
So I mean what you said about the judge courtroom scene, like I'm like, whoa, this is going to some interesting place. Then what I thought was going to happen, I'm sure if Al and Gil were actually involved with this, or some of the other regular people, that they would lead the pig to the electric chair, and then they would have William Sadler do like a cameo as the executioner to like bring it full circle with the first episode.
That would have been
fucking cool. Would that have been?
That would have been really cool.
Fitting ending.
Like to take it back. But again, I'm sure that they weren't thinking of it in like this whole continuity there's obviously not like continuity, but like that this would have been like the last one. And, you know, they probably had machinations about doing something more with the property. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, like the whole like puking up thing, like constantly was just really grating. And, you know, a lot of the sexism, again, I have no problem with that when it, you know, in context, but just felt so forced and so like, yeah, look what we can do. And just, yeah. Yeah.
But this definitely felt more than any other episode like they were flexing their HBO like looseness in guidance, you know, like, and we're on HBO, we can do whatever we want.
This is also like the same time that like the Spawn cartoon, which is like very violent, and then like, yeah, a lot of sexual violence and stuff.
But
again,
but even the Spawn cartoon got, yeah, 2-3 seasons and it was way ahead of its time, and mm-hmm, it was but I never felt like Spawn was being edgy for the sake of being edgy.
Right.
It was trying to tell, yeah, a story.
So yeah, it's funny because we were talking about during our last episode, we thought, oh, how cool it'd be to have our kids on and kind of, you know, make it like a whole like family thing. And now I'm like, thank God we didn't get that to happen.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Like, yeah.
Manu, would you feel comfortable watching this with your daughter?
And so can I tell you a funny story? So the other night, my daughter came home, had a rough day. She's dealing with a custody battle over her dog. It's a long story, but she goes, I just want to watch a movie. She goes, can we watch Saltburn? And I said, absolutely not. She's like, why not? It's a horror movie. I said, that movie is fucking probably one of the horniest movies of the year. I don't want to watch it with you. And then she looked up the synopsis and she's like, oh yeah, we can't watch this together. I'm like, exactly.
There are scenes I never want to see with my dad on the other end of the couch.
With my 21-year-old child, would I feel okay watching this episode with them? The only reason I'm going to say no is because they have never watched Tales from the Crypt before, aside from when I've been watching it bits and when they've walked in and me watching it here and there. And I wouldn't want this to be their first experience with it. I think if this is their first experience with it, it would probably jade you in the wrong direction. Whereas if they had been watching the whole series with me, of course I'd let them watch this. But granted, they're 21, so it's a little bit different.
So again, just to run down the talents, we talked about Bill Kopp, writer, director of the episode. He did like the original Simpsons on the Tracy Ullman show. He was director for some of them. Again, we talked about Eat the Cat, Tasmania. He also wrote the Incredible Crash Dummies TV movie.
I remember the Crash Dummies cartoons.
Yep. I had Crash Dummies toys.
They're like what the cavemen were
in the 2000s. Yeah. Except for they were for like public safety. But I had action figures of the crash test dummies. Like you would push a little button and like their arms and legs would explode.
A friend of mine had those. I remember those growing up.
Good stuff.
Okay. We also have Patrick Ventura, who was his biggest property was the Powerpuff Girls. Bobcat Goldthwait, we talked about him a lot. He was in Scrooged. He was also in Tales from the Crypt Ventriloquist Dummy episode. He's also in the movie that I just think of like occasionally and laugh to myself is Hot to Trot, where he's like a stockbroker and makes friends with a talking horse with the voice of John Candy, who gives him stock tips.
He did.
I kind of want to rewatch, but I remember in such like a fever dream manner, I wanted to stay in that.
You could get away with anything in the 80s, couldn't you?
He did. He did God Bless America too, where he goes on a road.
Oh yeah, as a director,
and they're just killing people because a guy cut him off in traffic, so he just shoots him. And
as a director, his stuff has been really interesting.
Yeah,
super dark, like. Okay, so Willow Creek is a good...
Yes, like, I like Willow Creek.
Bigfoot movie, I like that one a lot. But his first one, and I cannot remember what it's called, but it is literally about a woman who, in a moment of weakness, has sex with her dog. And it's her, like, big worst secret.
A Sleeping Dog's Lie.
Yes. Ooh, it is a dark comedy, man.
But, yeah, man. I remember watching that. God, it came out in the early 2000s, I think. Uh-huh. I remember watching that when I was young. And like, what the fuck am I watching here? Because it's, I mean, not to be vulgar, but she basically just on a whim decides to give her dog a blowjob.
Yeah.
And it gets really, I was going to say it gets really weird from there, but no, it starts out weird.
It's already weird.
Yeah.
It's already weird. It's a dark movie, man.
And for the record, I probably wouldn't recommend most people. Actually, I don't know. I remember the reason I think I found out about it, I remember John Waters talked about it.
Yeah. If John you're into Waters, that kind of stuff. And,
You ever seen if you like to eat dinner and invite friends over and watch Pink Flamingos, then yeah, watch Sleeping Dogs Live.
So again, just to go over some more of it, Cam Clark, who the Dudley and the Bailiff Wolf. Yeah, these are guys. He has over 450 voiceover credits. It's like it like hurts my eyes to go through their IMDb because there's just so many.
These guys are pros.
Charlie Adler did Smokey again. Huge voice acting career. He's most famous for doing Starscream on the new Transformers movies. Brad Garrett.
The new one or the 85 one? The original one?
The new, like, the live action ones.
Oh, I didn't even know Starscream was in this.
No.
It'll never be as cool as when he threw Megatron out of that fucking plane, though.
Right. Yeah.
Who then again, got sucked up by Unicron and became Galvatron.
Right.
Very important.
Corey Burton, again, another guy, 480 credits. And then Jim Cummings, as Jody talked about, 603 credits. Like,
yeah. Jim Cummings is one of those guys that if you look up an animated movie, he's probably in it, or a TV show, Futurama, you know, everything.
Yeah.
That dude's in everything.
His brother's name is Tim Goings. Okay, I tried.
I mean, again, top talents in this, but it's just misguided. I mean, I'm really wanting to know, and I'm kind of like reaching out to some people to find out. Why is this?
Yes. Why does this episode exist in this form?
I did kind of wonder with some of the violence. The violence was, I think, in the mid-90s when the first time people started really getting to Japanese anime here in the United States with stuff like Vampire. Well, Vampire Hunter D came out in the 80s, but it finally got popularity around this time period. Ninja Scroll, I think, came out in 95, same time period. Devil City, something I don't remember. But I wonder if it was kind of also trying to meet some of those, trying to take a little bit from that with the violence in it.
Yeah. It's just, there's a lot of questions left unanswered.
Again, with all that, though, there's a reason for it. Like that, it's just not this. The biggest thing I have with this one is just that it feels like it's trying too hard.
Oh,
it wants to be shocking as a cartoon.
And funny story, we talked about this, but Bobcat Goldthwait has done, he's done Eat the Cat and he's done Duckman.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what is this episode trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
Is it trying to start something, a new trend for Tales of, they're hoping to do further, or did they just like throw this? It just doesn't feel like something you would just do at the very end of this story series.
I think your QAnon conspiracy theory over there, Mr. QAnon, about them trying to, I'm just kidding, trying to shop this around as an adult animated series. I think that's actually a really, really smart answer.
Yeah. And I think that could work. Like if it was done better, like again, if it was played more straight, like a more serious one, it could be as bloody as it wants to be. Like, it could go over the top with the gore. I don't think that'd be a problem at all.
I mean, that's another piece to it. I felt like it was kind of like almost like a two-headed monster fighting against itself with the severity and the seriousness of the courtroom scene while they're still trying to play it all for laughs. And that felt really weird. I did, though, I'll say I did like the Crypt Keeper narration.
Yes.
That was great.
I would totally watch a series of the Crypt Keeper just narrating old fairy tales and having them just become fucked up. I mean, yeah, like, I would totally watch that.
John, if they would have done even like a 3-episode 8th season of Tales from the Crypt, but that was all animated, okay. At least that'll give us a chance to have like a delineation and kind of give us a chance to get into it and evolve the concept. But as it is, it's just
Real fast. I forgot that he also played Mr. Floppy in Unhappily Ever After.
Oh, yeah. I missed that show. That was great.
If I'm not mistaken, the dad in that show was also the dad in Freddy versus Jason.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
So. Top of my head, I'm thinking so, but I could be wrong.
All right. Let's do our episode rating. Jody.
Man, like I said, I'm a big animation fan. I watch anime, I watch cartoons, I watch Adult Swim all the time. My expectations, my hopes, not my expectations, we're in season 8. I know where I'm standing here. But 7. My hopes were that this, you know what I mean. My hope was that we could at least end the series on a high point. And we could at least have this big, fun, crazy episode that I was really going to enjoy. And I just didn't. So I'm going to give this one a 2.5. I wish I liked it more. I wanted to like it. I desperately wanted to like it, but I just didn't.
Yeah. Mondo.
So before the whole courtroom thing, and then when my brain went into weird places, I was thinking a 1.5 to a 2. But because the way they played the courtroom scene out, I actually really think that was trying to be a statement on the judicial system, I'm going to give it a 3. And I'm probably being a little bit generous. As in, I would say if anyone out there is listening to this and haven't watched it, you're not missing a whole lot. You really aren't. You don't go out of your way to watch this if you have something better to watch, like Godzilla Minus One. But but I don't think it was terrible. I think it had some really cool stuff to say, but just did it in a really disjointed way, I guess.
Yeah, this is one of those I'm torn, because if it was on its own, I'd probably give it a 3. If it, as it is, that's part of Tales of the Crypt, it's more like that bumps it down some. So yeah. I'm probably a 2. Like if I take it as it's presented to me as a Tales from the Crypt episode, yeah, it's just.
I mean, I'm never going to watch it again. Like, I'm never going to go out of my way to watch it again. Unless someone's like, hey, we should watch other Tales of the Crypt. Like, yeah, I'll put it on and I'm going to go grab a beer. We'll talk
about it. I appreciate the talent behind it, but it's just, what is it? That's the question I cannot wrap my head around.
I don't think it knows either.
The voice acting was great. But also, mm-hmm. to Jody's point, the animation wasn't great.
And it's cheap.
It's very cheap animation. And if you're going to have an animated episode, I think you have to, especially on a series like Tales from the Crypt, where you already have, you know, 6 pretty solid seasons, you really got to have good animation.
And Tales always, while it was cheap, it still looked good. Mm-hmm. You know, like they managed to disguise their low budget sometimes by like really good set design and good effects and stuff like that. This one felt cheap though, in a way that Tales normally doesn't.
It does that Hanna-Barbera thing where like where the wolf is like running, you can see the background recycling over and over and over, and like it becomes so distracting.
No, I never thought of that, Jody, but I think that's that you hit the nail on the head, that it felt cheap.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, and if take that step further, it just didn't meet the quality of Tales from the Crypt that we've become accustomed to.
It's kind of like if you went through Kmart during their dying days, that's what it felt like, walking through that Kmart and seeing the empty shelves with just toilet, or the shelves with just toilet paper on it, because it's all they had in the back to fill that shelf up with.
All right, well, I mean, I wish we could go on the higher note on the show, but it is what it is.
What we're getting into when we started season 7.
Dude, in perspective, like, we've been kind of down on season 7, but season 1 through 6, like, everyone should fucking go and watch it. You really should. It's a real good, fun watch. It's criminal. Well, it's not criminal, because, like, there's legal stuff, but it should be on streaming. It really should. I think if this show was on streaming, it would gain... I truly believe if they can figure out the rights issues and hash out all the personal issues, that if this thing's show came up on streaming, we'd have a new Tales of the Crypt season in 2 to 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the character himself. You'd have new generations of people enjoying the Crypt Keeper and learning about the Crypt Keeper. And even how many times have you met someone in the wild that you'll bring up, you do a Tales of the Crypt podcast, I'm like, oh, I remember the Crypt Keeper. Mm-hmm. And it was very iconic in a way we don't get a lot of characters today. So I'm going to say I really kind of hate the fact that season 7 wasn't good, because season 1 through 6 were so much fun watching or viewing. Yep. And season 7, I'm not going to lie, has been a little bit of a chore sometimes. But please don't let this last season, last episode, for anybody who's just discovering us now, stop you from watching those first 6 seasons, because there's some gems. There are some real gems. And for the most part, there were some problematic episodes. You can go back and listen to us. We have 123 episodes about them, or 124, or whatever. And you can see what we liked and what we didn't like. But I'd love for some of the new people that may be listening to us today to go back and look at some of the old stuff and watch some of the glory days of the Crypt Keeper.
Now, again, we were definitely not looking forward to so much to going to this season. I think it's slightly better than I was expecting, only slightly. Yeah.
I'd agree with you, but I think the lows were very low.
Yes, lows are very low.
I think that's a tough part is when you get that episode that's such a downer or so such a bad episode that you don't want to watch the next one. And that's
right.
a tough part.
Right.
That was a tough thing for me, at least.
Well, at least, like, there's
I'm
some
glad
really
I
good.
Watched it. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I watched season seven.
Of course. But at least, like, there was some great talent in these episodes, the Steve Coogan 100%. Episode.
Yeah.
Is Eddie Izzard or Susan Izzard.
Every now and then, you know, in this season, we'd hit an episode that I'm like, this actually isn't bad.
Yeah.
But that's kind of as high as anything could really rise this season, you know, like, it's not that bad. Like, it's the decent became like the high mark, you know?
I think the thing that stuck out to me for this season was some of the performances and how some of these actors and actresses took a script that may not have been amazing and really kind of try to still own the fuck out of it and make it their own. You brought up, I'm going to call them, I'm going to call her Susan. Eddie Izzard. I don't know by the name. I forgot the name.
Susan.
But to be fair, Eddie Izzard does say that they don't care what they're called by, but I still rather call them by whatever they want to be called by. But I mean, they were fantastic. That and I thought that like we did get some gems in this season. Like I'm glad I got to see that performance.
Right. All right. Let's move on to song of the day, Mondo.
Wait, do we have no Al's anecdote?
I was texting with Al earlier, and he says I remember nothing about this episode.
I love that.
I feel like this episode probably happened kind of separate from everything else too. You know,
I would have figured that they'd heard like a memo or something, or like around the water cooler.
So here's what I want, and I'm just going to put this out there in the world. And then if this doesn't happen, it's just you're just not going to hear it happens after this. But Al, Uncle Al, what are your final thoughts on Tales from the Crypt? And we're back. So either
there may be nothing there that may be the entire thing
you heard out or you didn't. I'm not going to edit that, so we'll see what happens. So I told you guys before we started recording that the day we started this podcast and Jason talked about song of the day is that I already knew what my last song was going to be for the series Tales from the Crypt. Obviously we'll still do this segment going forward. If you hate it, well, fuck you, you have bad taste in music. But I've actually, this is the third time I think I've used this artist on here, and but it's very poignant to me, and the song is very special to me for many reasons. So there's a gentleman by the name of Kim Bendix Peterson, better known as King Diamond, who's been around since the early 80s, and he did Merciful Fate and did his own solo stuff. His solo stuff is my favorite stuff in the world. One of my favorite like series of records of all time, because he told these elaborate stories with all these different voices he would do. And I never thought I'd see him live because he had a heart attack and he had back surgery, and then he had quadruple bypass surgery and said he's not going to tour again. Then he stopped smoking and stopped drinking as much and realized I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. So he did a tour again. And you're right. And I think it was 2015, maybe it was 14, when he came out and played Las Vegas the day after Halloween. And he had food poisoning. He got food poisoned the night before in Los Angeles and had to leave the stage several times to go take care of some business. And so I was thinking, I mean, I'd never seen him live before. He's my favorite artist. I remember going there, and my buddy Nate, my best friends in the world, came out. Him and his wife came out from Chicago for it, or from the Quad Cities for it in Illinois. For all they used to live, I think, in they're living in Moline at the time, I think, Illinois. And they came out, and we went to the concert. I'm thinking the whole time, like, they're going to cancel last second. And he came out there and just killed. Like I'm not ashamed to say I was crying after the show, because it was something that like was so awesome to see that I never thought I'd see it. When you see it, sometimes it brings you to tears. And he ended the song. He ended the set from the last song of the Abigail record. Anybody who's still with me, I appreciate you.
But we don't have a choice. We're stuck here.
You don't have a choice. Fuck it. You guys can disconnect. I'll finish this shit by myself. Let's get into horror news. And
that was fun. I love you, Mondo. You know.
That does it for
you
me.
You too, Jody.
It's cool. Jody can be an afterthought.
I like that I was included.
Jody, you can be the silver medal. It's fine. If anyone gets kicked off this podcast, it's me. It's fine.
Every thruple has, you know, the third leg.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I call it a third leg, but I think it's pretty adequate.
It's the kickstand. Oh my
God. If I make Jordan turn around and rub his head at least once for the, I'm pretty good. Be sentimental again. He ended the set with the last song off the record, Abigail. Abigail is my dog is named after Abigail. Her name is Abigail because she's the worst chihuahua in the world. And I love her to death and I would die for her, but she's the turd. And but the story Abigail is about basically a couple that moves into a mansion in the 1700s and they're warned, don't go there because the spirit of Abigail exists. And the spirit of Abigail basically possesses his wife and she eventually gives birth to Abigail. So the last song is basically the Black Horseman coming to destroy Abigail. And the last line in that song, which he ended I thought it'd be the last time I ever saw him live. And I've seen him three times since, which has been, thank you. Was the last two lines are perfectly fitting for the end of Tales from the Crypt. The last two lines of lyrics are, that is the end of another lullaby. The time has come for me to say goodnight. And if that's how the Crypt Keeper went out in this episode, it would have been beautiful. I think that I think those are lines straight out of the Crypt Keeper's mouth. John Kassir, if you're listening, you're probably not, but if you are, say those lines and send them to us, and I'll post them. But from the day we started this, I knew this was going to be the last song I'd pick because of those last two lines. Because if anything the Crypt Keeper did, he told us some really cool lullabies, and this episode was his time to say goodnight.
Mm, love it. All right.
Or good fright.
All right, Jordan, you got to follow that up.
Yeah, I got, like, my horror news segment is sad right now. All right, so let's just talk about some upcoming releases for January, things to look forward to. We're recording on January 5th, and as of today on Tubi, you can watch Where the Devil Roams, which is the Addams Family's newest movie. I have not seen this one yet, but I know our good friend Rachel Shadow, it's one of her favorite movies of the year. I really liked Hellbender. I saw that last year. And so that's available as of today.
I can talk about this. I bought it on iTunes when it came out because I love the Addams Family. I think it was the worst film they've done so far. With that being said, I think it was visually stunning. And I think the story was fantastic. I think it just... it's one of those films that would work better as a short film, but in no way am I saying, like, once again, the Addams Family has me excited for what they do next.
Yeah. If I remember right, when Rachel was talking about this, I think she may have said it was her favorite of their movies.
I respect that because, man, I don't want to give any spoilers, but what they do towards the end of the movie with the film and the way the story goes, I think is actually fucking brilliant. And I'll tell you guys off the air if you want to hear it, because I think people should really watch this movie. At the very worst, you're supporting independent cinema, and that's very important.
How many films do they have?
At least three, right?
You were saying this is the best of the movies. The only other one I knew they had was Hellbender. So I was like,
yeah, they've got this one, Hellbender, and what's it called?
I don't remember. I'm not even sure.
If you're wondering at home,
The Deeper You Dig.
That's right. They've got a few under their belt now.
Okay.
So Addams Family question here. Not this Addams Family, but the other Addams Family question. So the night my wife put on Addams Family Values, which I love. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's
a good movie.
Do you ever think Thing gave Gomez a hand job? I'm just asking.
I'd be more worried about Morticia.
I mean, he can't really give her a hand job.
He can give her finger bang. Well,
I'm glad that nothing's changed over the time that we've been doing this show.
I'm just thinking, like, you think that Thing would be like a master of foreplay, right?
I mean, all right, so other releases in January.
Get y'all hot and bothered. Maybe edge you a few times. It's your job. I don't know.
All right, so on January 16th.
Hold on a second, Joe. No comment. Do you think you did it or not? I don't know.
I don't know.
I also wondered if Thing isn't really just a hand. It's just you just can't see. You just can't see the rest of his body because the rest of the body's invisible, but the hand.
So I mean, that's pretty much how they shot him in the new show, right? Like, he was in green. They green screened him out.
That's true, yeah. The old Adams Family movies and the TV show.
So good.
Yeah, so good. I love those movies. The most accurate depiction of Thanksgiving of all time.
All right, so January 16th, we have Horror in the High Desert 2, Minerva, coming to Screenbox.
Mm-hmm.
I have not watched either of the Horror in the High Desert yet, but I've heard a lot of good things from found footage people. So,
Jody, as a fan of Book of Shadows, Blair Witch Project 2.
Yeah.
Horror in the High Desert is nothing like that, but you'll like it. Okay. I think you'll enjoy it. I like that movie a lot.
No, yeah, I still don't watch it because I do like a good found footage too. Yeah,
shout out to Screenbox and Screenbox also has A Wandering Path, which is a story by Gillian Media, which I called my favorite films at Chattanooga Film Festival. It's a lot about metal because that's my fucking forte, but I think it's a great, great documentary. Just FYI, if anybody wants to see a cool documentary.
Two more releases in January. On January 12th, I don't know why these are in the wrong order, but January 12th, the movie called Destroy All Neighbors.
Yeah.
Is coming out. Jonah Ray Rodriguez. Jonah Ray is in Mystery Science Theater 3000, Jonah Ray. And also Alex Winter, Bill.
Okay.
From Bill and Ted. It looks like it's going to be a big, crazy, gory, special effects-filled movie. Coming to Shudder January 12th. And then finally, one I have to mention, January 29th.
Hold on a second, real fast. You have to also put in, it's got Thomas Lennon of Reno 911.
Oh, yes, Thomas Lennon's in it, too.
And Kumail, I'm going to butcher his last name, Nanajani?
Mm-hmm.
Kumail Nanajani, he's in it, too. So I think that's going to be...
It looks like a lot of fun.
For that movie, actually. Very excited.
Every time I hear the name of that movie, I think of that video game, Destroy All Humans.
Yeah.
He plays the alien. Oh, so much! I mean,
it's like a combination of that and Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yeah.
But what I have to talk about is January 26th on Shudder. We have Suitable Flesh. Yes. So if you have not seen Suitable Flesh, if you listened to last week's episode about our top five of the year, Suitable Flesh was right there in it. Watch it. Watch it on Shudder.
Get your socks ready. That's the horniest fuck movie.
I was going to say, don't watch it with your kids.
Do not watch it with your kids anywhere around. Make sure they're adults. Passed out. All right. A couple trailers we got in the last week or so. The first Omen released a trailer, which the Omen series has never been one I've been big on, but this one looks pretty cool. The visuals, look interesting.
I think
The trailer looks good, but it's one of those, like, there's no way the movie is going to live up to this trailer.
Right. Sure.
I will stand by the Omen 3 with Sam Neill being fantastic. I think that movie's super underrated. And Sam, the whole scene, he has a whole monologue with the Jesus statue. He like grinds the thorns into his head. And I actually really enjoy the Omen series. So I'm pretty excited for this. I didn't like the remake they did though back in whenever.
Yeah.
It was in 2006. They released it on January 6th. Sorry, January 6th. June 6th, 2006.
Oh, yeah. All right. Another trailer we got was for Dario Argento Panico. A documentary about Dario Argento coming to Shudder on February 2nd. Looks really cool. Looks like it gets really deep into his creative journey and how horror has impacted him, how he has impacted horror. I'm an Argento fan. There's some great Dario Argento movies, so I'm excited to see this.
Like, he's done some stinkers, but those early movies are...
Yeah. Dario Argento is kind of like Tales from the Crypt. That when he does a bad one, it's real bad. But when he's firing all cylinders and Dario is doing his best stuff, it is some of the best stuff out there.
So our younger listeners might not realize, and you had to go buy a DVD to watch a movie. I still remember going at like midnight to buy Three Mothers.
Yeah.
And being so excited at the conclusion of the trilogy and then watching it and being like, that was a film.
We pulled one out for physical media at Best Buy. Like, holy shit, that feels, that depresses me.
Well, realistically, the problem with Best Buy, and this is, it's just with physical media, right? Like, I'd rather spend the money at my local record shop, which has them, or Amazon's cheaper and it's still going to a big corporation. So
I know it's in the,
or like the local boutique labels that exist out there. I like buying directly from them.
I'm saying it's, and this is one of those things, I know it's inevitable, but it's just like one of those things that like you're just used to.
But I mean, they even, I think today I was reading that some of the Star Trek series now is getting pulled from streaming. Hey, man, I'm not going to lie that I was one of those people that was very, I got very anti-physical media for a while. So I have aside from all the records I have, but it came to movies, like so much stuff's on streaming now. But as more and more stuff goes away, I'm really happy to have physical copies of a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely. All right. And my final trailer to talk about, coming out on February 9th. Just in time for Valentine's Day, we have Lisa Frankenstein coming to theater. And I watched this trailer. This is 100% my jam. It looks like a lot of fun. It's ridiculous, over-the-top 80s stuff. There is Cole Sprouse playing a like Victorian Frankenstein kind of guy. And they try to replace his parts by murdering assholes and cutting off their parts and rebuilding him as a new human. That's a fun concept. I'm 100% in on it. I'm excited to watch that one.
Me too. The joke about the Cure was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is the Cure. No, not the one for you, but the music. Like, it's something makes you feel good.
That looks really good. I'm pretty stoked for that.
That's all I got. Mostly just trailers and release schedules right now. It's the beginning of the year. Everyone's still recovering.
All right. For our Patreon pit, I posted the question, and actually, Mondo, I posted this to Instagram stories. Can you look that up real quick? Because
I can't. Well, while I'm looking this up, can I state though that I'm very, so again, I'm going to once again champion The Holdovers and how much I love that movie. The young lead actor in that, who plays basically one of the three main actors in it, it was his first ever film.
Wow.
I didn't know that till I watched the special features on the Blu-ray, and I was like, holy fuck. He's been nominated for a bunch of awards already as Best Supporting Actor in his first film, and that's just unreal to me.
That's nice.
I'm just saying everyone should watch that movie. It is a Christmas movie in the best way possible, but man, hit me in all the feels. Enough to where my wife put her phone down to watch a movie, so I'll say that's how good it was. I'm trying to figure this out, Jason, dude. I'm going to do
the Patreons first while you do that.
All right, go ahead and go to the Patreons while I figure out how to live my life. I don't have the account on my phone anymore.
Oh, okay. I'll look at the multitask.
I failed you. I apologize.
That's all right. All right. So again, I posted the question to our Instagram stories and to our Patreons, and what have been your favorite Dads from the Crypt episodes or moments so far? Just taking a little look back. Our friend Alyssa said, I know it's selfish, but the Halloween Ends episode that we did together was so much fun. Yeah. I can't argue with that. You know, that was a really good one, for our movie reviews. We don't do a ton of, but.
As someone who is generally the positive voice talking about media, it was fun getting to be the guy who really hated a movie and got to bash it. I never get to do that, so I liked it.
All right.
And also, shout out to Alyssa and her podcast, The Silver Scream.
Yes.
Where she talks about werewolf movies. Alyssa, you're very appreciated here in our camp.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also, our good friend Whitney, too, was also on that episode. Was she not? Did she do Halloween?
We'll get to her in a moment.
Okay.
Okay. A friend down under, Andy, says, God, this is hard. So many great times, and love Mondo dumping on Glenn Jacobs and all the guests you've had. Glenn Jacobs gets a lot of shout outs in this comment. So we'll see.
Oh, shit. I need to get back into the Glenn Jacobs. That guy still sucks.
It says, too many good things to mention. Just keep being awesome, guys. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. Andy also, Ghastly Ghouls. Look him up. He ships stuff from Australia. Very, very cool stuff. I have a ton of stuff from him already, and all of it's amazing.
Yeah, he does some really cool, like, airbrushed sculptures and models.
I got Kel, really cool. the the Freddy Claw earrings, and she loves them. Yeah. That's so cool.
What's his Instagram? Where can they find them?
You can find him at Ghastly with a G-H, right? Yeah.
Okay.
He's on Etsy.
And Etsy, yeah. Okay. Ashton says, really hard to narrow it down. I love the Cabinet of Curiosity episodes because they were so fresh and easy to watch right before listening. Mm-hmm. Overall, favorite reoccurring moments are probably the supportive dad advice moments. And you all talking so openly and emotionally about some emotional topics with great care. It's refreshing and heartwarming. Your care for your community really shines through. Thank you, Ashton.
I love that.
That's awesome.
That hit me right in the feels, man. That was good. Thank you.
Our listener, Janet, says that hands down, the Tales from the Crypt movie breakdowns both were a fabulous time. Thank you much. And then our friend Whitney, who's been a guest as well, says, selfishly, I got to say, when Mondo called the band Twin Temple Twin Towers on accident, and Jason laughed so hard he had to get up and walk away. I'll say, so many times I've like, I need to smile. I need to just chuckle. You know, I'm in the mood. I need something to make me chuckle. I'll watch that clip. I can't not. God, just even thinking about it.
It's what I thought of it today because there's a Instagram account that I follow where the guy teaches history facts to his cat using his cat toys. And I'll just send it to you, but everyone should look it up. I don't know the name of the Instagram account because I'm kind of drunk, but it's funny.
And then Shossel says, other than that, anytime Mondo shits on Glenn Jacobs is a good time. I love when Jason tries to keep it on the rails and when Jody has to pronounce anything French. maybe we should make that a better
when pronunciations are also mixed with inebriation. It's a good combination.
So we have to do a new segment where we try to figure out Urban Dictionary words, and also where Jody has to decipher and pronounce a French word. Nice.
All right. Again, huge shout out to all our patrons. We deeply appreciate you.
We have to talk favorite moments. One of my favorite moments of this show was when Jason just very innocently got on and said, so for dad advice, we're going to talk about how do you top your sub? And then it took a second and he got what he was saying and he fell apart for a good 5 minutes.
Okay, Mono sent me a meme and I just didn't get it. The meme about Subway.
I did not get it. I don't know. Cody got it.
You know, sometimes when you read something, it doesn't. But it's different than when you say it loud. You know how many memes are crap.
We'll be honest. We all die today, and we go and stand. I don't believe in God, but we go before Him, and He has to choose one of us to get in heaven. It's Jody. We all know it's Jody.
Oh yeah, by far.
And he knew what it meant. So
I'm not claiming innocent, not to know. I just didn't.
And there is nothing wrong with consensual power exchange. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not from a lack of knowledge about that. It's more just not putting it together in the moment. Yeah.
It was just that in the moment you figured out what the meme meant and it broke you for a good like 3 minutes.
I think I have that on video, but if anyone can remember what episode that is, message me. Yeah. So I can try to find that
earlier one. It was definitely an earlier
one. I can't remember
if we have the video or not, but maybe we'll just isolate the audio.
I'm probably with Whitney that my favorite was a Twin Tower, or the whole Twin Tower statement. only because of Jason's reaction. Like Jason reaction is getting them having to leave the fucking scene. He's laughing so hard. I enjoy any time I can make one of you guys turn red. Or when I break Jason, it always makes me very happy.
Yeah.
If I was drinking water at that moment, I would have done a spit take right to the camera.
Yeah. But in all honesty, if I can say that my favorite moment of the entire podcast is meeting Gil and Al at Chattanooga Film Festival and just having a conversation with those guys and hopefully they understand how much joy their show has brought us and brought us closer together as friends. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of weird when you think that two guys who decide they're going to write a show and the far reaches it's had and the tendrils it's stuck into people's lives, including our lives. So that was one of my favorite things is meeting those guys at Chattanooga.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that was it. The first, who did we interview first? William Sadler or,
I think it was John Kassir.
John Kassir.
Because I remember getting that email. So I started from IMDb Pro account and, you know, to find out who people's agents are. And, you know, I sent out some email. I just went through. I'm like, I figure what's the worst that they can do is say no. The okay thing they can do is I'll just never hear back. And sure. Best thing is I get a yes. And I got a yes within like 2 hours. And I thought it was a joke. I was like, I can't believe this actually worked. Believe me, I've had 1,000 no's from other people since then. It was just this weird cosmic thing.
That was like asking to draw in high school, and they're like, yes. And you're like, wait, no, okay. Oh, wait, what?
What? Well, yeah. then me and Jordy like went to Overdrive, like, okay, wait, how do we give an interview? And then we had to like come up with questions. We actually met on Zoom beforehand to try to figure out how's this going to work, because we were so nervous.
Speaking of which, Jason, you haven't done an interview in a while.
Well, there's been a ton of people related, but I do have some things in the bucket, so we'll see.
But I will say, Jason, as a testament to you, if you listen to your very first interview versus the latest one you've done, how much you've grown and gotten better as an interviewer. And I mean that in the most like sincere way possible. It's pretty awesome.
I appreciate
as the guy that edits all of them, like I really appreciate I really appreciate you and how you've grown as an interviewer. I think at first you're kind of just nervously asking questions, and now you're leading people. It's very good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, the joke is that very first interview we did with John, we came up with like 40 questions, something ridiculous.
We were really prepared.
And if you've ever seen John Kassir just talking, he is a perpetual talker in the best way possible. He just keeps going and going and going and telling you the best shit that you could think of. So we're just sitting there cracking up. We only got through like really 4 or 5 questions he like answered everything else because he's just such a performer.
And then 2 weeks later, we got to talk to William Sadler, and he was the kindest man I've ever met in my life. Man. So good. Incredible.
Yeah, again, we've had so many great interviews, and I'm so thankful for all of them. It's just been amazing.
Yeah.
And somehow over Christmas, Jason sent us a picture of Bill Gaines' family wearing Dad from the Crypt shirt.
Holy shit. Like, so let me ask you guys a question. I was showing this to people and they're like, that's cool. I'm like, hold on a second. You don't realize how cool this actually is. Yeah, I need to explain to you how cool it is and why.
Did you not grow up with Mad Magazine like I did?
Yeah, so the daughter of William Gaines messaged me on Facebook, said I'd love to get some t-shirts for Christmas or sweatshirts for Christmas. And that's why I messaged Julian, like, we need a better logo. We need a better quality logo.
For the record, none of us have dads in the crypto, but the Gaines family does.
I know. And she sent me pictures as they were getting them. That's really amazing. And I think we floated the idea of maybe doing a Moms from the Crypt come Mother's Day. So
we talked about that our first year, and pretty much all of our wives were like, no.
No.
I think Kel was in, but I think Kira and Joey's wife were like, no, I'm not.
Mine declined.
I'm not doing that.
Elena declined. Very quickly.
I don't know where we're going with any of this, but
there's a Patreon bit still. We're just reminiscing.
If you just find a random female and start calling her mommy, I guess that would work too.
Mommy from the crypt?
I'm waiting for the day where mommy becomes as sexualized of a term as daddy becomes, because fuck, man. Like, I still remember a meme saying, if I had a kid nowadays, I'd make them call me bruh.
If it helps any, once you have a teenager, they call you that naturally now. So,
my child's
girls and guys. Dad.
So, what's our dad advice after 125 episodes and an entire TV series?
So, I thought, Joe, did you have something?
Go for it. Go first.
Well, I was going to say it is the first week of January, so maybe we talk about our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I'm definitely like making improvements. I'm not like a resolution person per se, but I did buy a exercise bicycle for my office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I exercised like 3 days in a row and I felt like crap for 2 days. So I need to pace myself, I think.
When I told you that you should really take a rest day, I wasn't just joking with you. Like that's as you get older. I know like my max amount of days a week I can do jujitsu is 5. Cause on day 5, I start feeling like I'm getting sick. So my body's basically telling me, hey dude, take a day off. I think in the past I've shit on New Year's resolutions and saying they're fake. This year I'm changing my tone. And reason being is I look back on 2023 And I couldn't, off the top of my head, remember. I kept remembering how I've had to get my house repiped and this bad shit that happened. And that's not what I want to dwell on. I want to dwell on like accomplishments and good things that happened throughout the year. So I'm setting myself small goals that are attainable with an extended goal, almost like Kickstarter, except for I'm not going to rip myself off. And not that all Kickstarters are not ripoffs, just I'm talking about you, ultrasonic fucking record cleaner that I never got. But one of my goals this year, for instance, is to do three jiu-jitsu tournaments because I haven't competed in a long time. And then my extended goal is I want to win a gold on one of them. And nice. I'm okay if I don't make my extended goal. And the reason I kind of wrote all these down is I want to go back at the end of the year and look at how much stuff I did accomplish. So I'm not just dwelling on, man, I've had such bad holidays in my life. Where's my dad dying, my dog dying, my grandfather dying right on the holidays. And but the best thing in my life that ever happened to me in the holidays is also my daughter being born. So I try to look at it as I really want to this year in 2025 on January 1st, I want to look back at the previous year and not think about everyone's going to have bad stuff that happens in their life. There's no way around that. But I want to really focus, though, on the accomplishments I had and the love of the people around me and not on anything negative.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got some stuff that I want to do in this new year, and there's nothing magic about January 1st, you know, but sometimes it's just a good time to think because it's, you know, you get that break, that weird week, you know, between Christmas and New Year where you know, kind of reset your brain a little bit. It's good for me a lot of times. You know, I've got some things I want to accomplish. I want to read more this year. I didn't read enough books last year. I spent most of my time watching movies, and movies are great. But
how many books did you read?
I don't even know. I didn't keep up with it.
No idea.
You know, my wife read like 100 books. Like, she's one of these people who just tears through them. And yeah, so, you know,
my wife encouraged my daughter, though, is super into reading now and reading horror novels. And it's so much fun. Like, it makes me want to read more because I'm like, you've read that. I haven't read that. Like, I need to read that. Right. So I can talk about it.
You know, I have these things I want to do. I want to put myself out there a little bit more this year, find some ways to do some creative work, do some writing, do some, you know, video type stuff. So I have all these things I want to do, but I think this ties in really well with what we've been talking about, you know, of finishing this series, doing our last episode of Tales from the Crypt. I just want to take the time to embrace the things I really love, the things that bring me happiness, like talking about this TV show from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like talking about horror movies, like doing the things that bring me that kind of joy. I love being involved in making things, with one of the opportunities we got as part of this podcast is getting to be involved with Chattanooga Film Fest. I want to, you know, find ways to put myself out there, be more creative in that. And so, you know, like starting this show a couple years ago when Jason and Mondo came to me, like I did not realize how much this would really change things for me. And what it changed most of all is just embracing those things that make me happy. And I want to keep doing that this year, even more so. More time on those things that bring me joy and less time on the things that, you know, are frustrating and difficult in the bad kind of way. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay for things to be hard, but if they bring you joy, it's worthwhile.
Jody, you're making me all misty eyed here, and I actually mean that. I love that. Yeah.
All right, Jody, did you have something else you want to add, or
are you just stalling for time, Jason? Can't...
No. I was just making sure that he got it. I thought he was going to say.
Something. I'm good.
Okay. Well, I think that's it.
Hold on, Jason. You didn't share.
Yeah, I did.
You're bike. Okay. You got more than that?
No, I mean, there was definitely, didn't have the best mental health last couple of weeks over the holidays. Really up and down, just a lot of just internal stuff. And I think today I'm kind of coming out of it a little bit. You know, tomorrow's my birthday. That's always, you know, a fun day, but I also don't love the attention as much. But
I don't want attention for my birthday at all. Do you have any fun plans tomorrow?
I think we're going to Dave and Buster's because that's a good all family thing. Though my son has like had this fever up and down, so we'll see if we're going to go or not. The Steelers are playing, so there's some football to watch. And
well, are they winning in? Is that the thing? Are they winning?
There's some really convoluted. They need to win. They need to play. They need a bunch of other teams. One of those weird things. But they're playing the Ravens.
Can I tell you, it's actually really cool right now.
Starters.
Yeah, it's really cool being a 49er fan this week because we just clinched number one seed because fuck the Eagles.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. So yeah, it'll be, you know, be a good time. Be a good time.
That's good, man. Well, if I don't talk to you tomorrow, happy birthday.
I guess, well, thank you. Yeah, well, yeah. All right.
How old are you gonna be?
50. No, 50. Fuck you, Mondale. Putting that shit in my head. 43.
43. You're younger than Glenn Jacobs, piece of shit mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
You had to get in just on the wire.
Hey, you know what? Like I challenged Elon Musk on X to a grappling match, and he hasn't responded. I've also challenged Glenn Jacobs, and he never responded either. Surprising, right? Like, who would have thought they wouldn't respond to a guy with 700 followers?
Well, let me just put it this way. If you enjoyed the pig content in this episode, we're going to go right into another pig-centric episode when we do Black Mirror.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the episode completely until you just said that. I was like, oh, okay.
Season 1, episode 1. We'll see how that one keeps on the rails. Again, Black Mirror, season 1, episode 1, the national anthem. We appreciate
a way to start. Real fast, I have questions, Jason. Are we going to still do some anthology movies here and there?
Yes. So, as I mentioned before, our plan is to do...
Real fast, you know, Jason just said, per my last email.
Yeah. Per my last email, Mondo. If you look at highlighted below... no, because Black Mirror is only 3 episodes in the first 2 seasons. We're definitely going to be doing more anthology movies, even more just random movies, just for the hell of it, to fill in some gaps.
And the only reason I bring that up is because any of our patrons out there, or just listeners out there, if there's something you want us to cover, especially anthology related, please let us know, because I'm more than happy. I love recommendations, because there's been a lot of like small budget anthologies coming out the past few years. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I just don't know what's worth... I don't want to knock anything, but right, my time's limited and your guys' time's limited, and I don't want to watch anything that's fucking terrible.
Right.
Which I do all the time.
That would definitely be appreciated. Recommendations. All right. Speaking of appreciation, we appreciate everyone for listening. We really appreciate you give us a rating and review on iTunes, rating on Spotify. Check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. And with that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Goodbye and Happy New Year to everyone. But Glenn Jacobs. Fuck off, baby.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you ask for. You may get it.
Did Jason just cancel?
He just left.
Jason, he comes back.
He just left.
Holy shit! Like he did his mine's still uploading, so I can't leave.
Yeah,
yet.
Mine's still. Yeah,
dude, I think it's still recording. I think he's gonna get stuck at 99% until Jason comes back on. I'm gonna text real fast.
We can't redo this. No, he just messaged on Slack, says fuck wrong button.
Yeah, tell him that.
I think he needs to come back and close the recording.
On in, I can't type, dude. On or else it won't finish.
We don't need a lost episode.
Hey, so everything's stuck at 99% as of right now. I don't know if this is going to finish or not, and you might have fucked all of us, Jason, by clicking the wrong button.
No, I think mine needs to upload first.
No sound.
I'm in the process of in Riverside in a new window to see if the recording is actually here.
Can you hear me?
If it's not, Jason is fired. And...
Oh my god.
We will start a channel called Persons from the Crypt.
I think you just need to.
Jason, are you still there? Are you live?
Stop the recording. Do you have that ability?
Oh, we can't hear Jason, so he's.